The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Tsetse. In the Parsha, we have mentioned in Perekov Beis, Posuk Yud Gimel, the Parsha of Meitzi Shemra, Ki Ikach Ish Isho, Uva Eleha Usne'a. But if a person takes a woman, he marries her, but he hates her, the Som La Lilis Dvorim, Vahitzi Aleo Shebra, and he slanders her. He slanders her with lies and says that she committed adultery. So we have the whole parsha which deals with that, and that's called Meitzi Shem Ra, where you give someone a bad name which is not true. Then a little further in the parsha, in Perechov Dalet Posukei, we have Yishama Benega Hatzaras Lishma Me'od Velases. You must be very careful to prevent the plague of leprosy. And if someone was stricken with this plague, this was the ancient plague, which took place during the times of the Chumash. If someone is stricken with this plague, then he should do everything that the Kohanim and the Levim tell him. Remember everything which Hashem did to Miriam when we went out of Egypt. So the Gemara learns from here, the Chazal, that this is a Hazor al-Loshon Hora. You must be careful with the plague of leprosy to bring it upon yourself, heaven forbid, because this is what comes when you speak Loshon Hora. Loshon Hora is when you speak something which is derogatory about a person, even though it might be true. And this is what happened to Miriam and Aaron when they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Baalei Sechor. And then in last week's Parsha, Parshas Shoftim, we had in Perek Yutes, Posuk Tes Vav, Leyokum Eidechot Biish, Lechol Oven, Lechol Chates, Bechol Cheta Sheyechto, that a single witness should not stand up against the person to testify against him for any type of Avera, any type of chait or transgression, because the Bezdin, the courts, cannot accept the testimony of a single witness, and therefore the Gemara says in Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that it remains Loshon Hora, Lishon Bisho. And incidentally, this past Shabbos we gave a long shiur on that. So we have here in these two parishes a number of sources which deal with Loshon Hora. And being that it's Elo, I would like to spend this evening speaking about this. However, on a certain aspect which we do not talk about too much, and that is Isur Chilus, which we'll explain just now what that is. But this that I mentioned, because it's Elo, the hate, the general hate of Loshon Hora, that it suffice to say that the Vilna Gaon writes on it, Demali Lahairach al Oven Zeh Shukomen Mikola Averas. He writes in his letter that why must I elaborate on this, which is more severe than all of the Averas in the Torah. And he brings from the Medrash, she called Odom Shodom Seger as Piv. Every minute that a person keeps his mouth closed when he's tempted to say Loshon Hora, he will be Zeche, he merits an Orgonus, Shein Malach V'Kol Beria. He merits in the world to come a concealed light which no angel or any creature will be able to see. And the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrono Livrocha, writes, that perhaps one of the reasons why the Torah was so machmir, was so stringent, considered these averas as the most serious in the Torah, is because he says that there's the possibility when someone speaks Lashon Hara, he can transgress almost every avera in the Torah, every mitzvah in the Torah that deals bein odom lechavera, between man and his fellow man. He lists there's a possibility of 17 lavin, 17 negative commandments, and 14 esin, 14 positive commandments, and gimel arurin, and 3 curses, heaven forbid. So therefore, a very appropriate time to emphasize these mitzvahs, these dinim, is an elul. And, as mentioned, this evening we'll speak about rechilus. Now, the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchus Deos, Perek Zayin, he brings that there are 4 Dalet Shemais, 4 different facets, 4 different names he gives them, of Averus when it comes to Lashon Hara, to the general Issur of Lashon Hara. There's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when you say something derogatory about a person to another person. There's Metzi Shemra, which is true. There's Metzi Shemra. Metzi Shemra is when you say something derogatory about a person to another person, which is a lie. There's Baal Lashon Hara. Baal Lashon Hara are those who make this as an occupation, as a preoccupation, that are always involved in these types of talks. And that's on them that it states the very, very great Aveda, the very great punishments of the Torah. And there's Rechilus. Rechilus, the Rambam brings, is he brings a maragel bechaveray ever beleisase. Now he calls that maragel bechaveray. And ezel rochel, and what is this? Says shetoin devorim beholech mizea lezea. The omer kacho mapleni kach vekach shomati alpleni afal pishu emes hareze machri vesa olam. Tailbearing, gossip. That when you find out something that Reuben did or Reuben said, and you carry this information to Shimon, and this is the type of information that can cause machlekes, this is Rochel, this is Rechilus. The caring of tales, of information, of gossip, which can cause machlekes, which can cause faribum, which can cause division. This is rechilus, which can cause hatred between the people of Klal Yisrael. Now, the source for rechilus, it has its own source in the Torah. And this we find in Parshas Kedoshim, which is by Yikor Yutes, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Leiselech Rochel be'amecho, you shall not go as a Rochel in your nation, and leisamer al damreyecho, and you shall not stay. This now, this, the second half of the pasuk is not speaking about rechilus, but speaking about another mitzvah. Leisamer al damreyecho, you shall not stand by idly on the blood of your brother. That means when your brother is in danger and do nothing. Ani Hashem, I am God. Rashi explains here, what does the word rochel mean? And Rashi tells us that the word Rachel is the same word as the word rogil, except in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, the chof and the gimel are miskalefes, are interchangeable. So rogil is spelled with a gimel and rochil is spelled with a chof, but it's the same word. What does rogil mean? Rogil comes from the word meragil, to spy. Now rochil is usually used in the Lashon HaShas, the Gemara and so forth, as a salesman, a traveler. He's a rochel b'shomim. He sells spices, he sells perfumes, he sells incense, whatever he might sell. And he is called that because he also is like a rogil, a baraglim. Because what is it? What must a traveler do, a salesman? He's got to go from place to place, and he's got to see what is good to buy, what are the bargains to buy, and where can he sell it best. And this could be why a maragel is the same shade, is the same source of the word as regal, as foot. We have in the Torah when Moshe sent in the maraglim to spy out the land, so they have to go and from one place to the other, and they have to seek out information. So a rochel, a traveler, a salesman, is also called by that, except the chof and the gimel are interchangeable, so therefore he's called a rochel instead of a rogel. Now what does this have to do over here? Over here, leiselech rochel, where the Torah told you that you shouldn't be a rochel, it's referring to a gossiper. He says, because what these people, what do they usually do? They usually go by their friends, or they go to some place and see what kind of information can they pick up, which will be some very, very good, interesting chadoshes, new information, which can cause machlekes. They'll go and daven at this shul and then come home and tell someone what they said or what they did, because they know that that person is going to get very upset and angry over it. Or they'll go to this wedding, or they'll go to visit and have coffee with this one, or they'll sit on the telephone to try to get some information to carry from one place to the other. And Rashi says that's why wherever we see the word rochel, we'll always see the lashon also halicha, leiselech rochel. And he brings many, many such cases. That wherever it says rochel, that you shouldn't be a rochel, you'll see telech. You'll see the lashon halicha. Why by stam lashon hora, though, it won't say that. So lashon hora is where I say something, I tell Shimon something derogatory about Reuven. That's lashon hora. And afa pishu emes, even though it's true. If it's a lie, then it's loshen hara, but it's mechi shemra. It's slander, it's libel also. But rechilus is where I tell Shimon something which I heard about Reuven, or Reuven did, or Reuven said, which is necessarily derogatory at all. And it could be praiseworthy. But I know that it's going to incite him. It's what you could call people carry red herrings. See, I know it's going to incite him. I know it's going to cause sina. It'll cause hatred. It'll cause machlekes. It'll cause division. It'll cause katota, faribel. And I do it. That's rechilus. And this is your source. And this is because you are bringing medonim beino achim. You are bringing machlekes between the brothers of Israel. Now, the Rambam says on this, he says as follows, Amaragel bechaveri, someone who's maragel, so he's referred to what we mentioned, Eva b'leisas, he transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, Lo selech rochel da'amecho. Vafafishen lokin aldovers, even though one does not get lashes for this, because the general rule is that a negative commandment which has no actual physical mice involved does not receive lashes by the Beis Din. Oven Godelhu, it's a very, very great Avera, the Gorim Lahareg Nefoshis Rabbis Mi Israel, and it can cause the death of many, many people. Makach Nismach Lei B'lei Samir Al Dam Re'echo. That's why when we read the Pasuk, we said the second half of the Pasuk refers to something totally unrelated. Le Samir Al Dam Re'echo, you should not stand by the blood of your brother. So the Rambam is writing now that the Chazal make a smichus. It's not unrelated. Because if you stand by and you let your brother, heaven forbid, die, you are a Retzeach, you are a murderer. If you are a Rochel, if you carry this information around to make Machlekes, you are also a murderer. The Torah considers you. Say, now, the Rambam says, but this might be an exaggeration, that merely bringing information one to the other, with seemingly innocent information, why do we say that it can cause the harigo, the death of many, many of Israel? So he says, Say ulama ira ledeig ho adomi. We can learn this from Doeg ho adomi, which we will speak about in a minute. Ezehu Rochel, who is the Rochel? Zeh shetoin dvorim, he carries information, and he goes from one to the other. And he says, this is what Reuben said about you, or this is what Reuben did. This is what I heard. Even though it's true, but since this is the type of information that will incite people, then you are destroying the world. Then the Rambam goes on to the other of Loshon Hara. Now these are all very, very serious avodas, as we mentioned. The Rambam incidentally holds that Loshon Hara is more chomer, is more severe than Vechilus, but the Raivad holds that Vechilus is more severe than Loshon Hara. Now, the Rambam mentioned, he says, go and see what happened with Doeg HaAdomi. This serves as one of the great sources where because I'll learn many dinim of Rechilus. So let's go into that source. This is a perek in Shmuel Aleph, perek Chof Aleph and Chof Beis. The Novi is speaking, the Cho'ul decided that he wants to kill Dovid. This was before Dovid was king. And Yonason gives this information to David and tells him, go, run for your life, and he sends him on his way. Vayokum vayilech vayavo David nover el achimelech hakohen. So David ran away, and because he had to leave in a hurry, he left alone and he left without any provisions, and he came to the city of Nov. And then Noam was known as Ira Kohanim. It was a city of Kohanim. And there was Achimelech. Achimelech was the head Kohen. Incidentally, Noam was one of the cities in which the Mishkan, the sanctuary, it was brought into Eretz Yisrael. So there were certain cities where it stayed for a long time. Noam was one of those cities. The last Mishnah in Masechet Zevachim, it states, Bo Lenei VeGibayin. Once the Mishkan, the sanctuary, came to Nov and Gibayin, so this was a permanent place for the Mishkan at that time. Hutra HaBomesh. So if this was not as permanent as Shiloh as other places, but it was semi-permanent, and the Bomesh became permissible. So therefore, it was the sanctuary was there, and it was a city of Kahanim. And Vayachra Achimelech likras David. Achimelech got a fright. He says, "Madua to levadecho v'ishenitoch. Why are you alone?" David was very well known. He was known as the Chasan Hamelech. He was the son-in-law of the king, and he was perhaps the successor to the king at that time. And he said, why someone like you, why did you come alone without a vanguard? Nobody's with you. So David didn't want to tell him the whole business that Shaul's after him to kill him. Vayemi David Achimelech, HaKayir HaMelech, Sivani Dover, Vayemi Elai Ish Al Yeda Ma'uma, Asa Dover HaShanech Sholechacho. He said that the king had a very, very secret mission for him. And the king sent him off with urgency, immediately. And he said, no one must know where you're going, except the servants and the lads that you are taking. And I've already sent them ahead to that place. And this is why I'm alone. And then he said, I had to leave in such urgency, I didn't even have time to take anything to eat or any weapons. So I told my yesh tachas yotcha, what do you have? Chamisha lechem tano v'yodio animso. Do you have some 5 loaves of bread, something that I can eat? And Achimelech told him, there's no lechem chol, there's no bread here which is chol, which is chuli. All of the bread here is kodosh. And here this brings a whole shaila here, because it was the lechem aponim. It was the lechem from the table, from the shulchan in the sanctuary, which was kodosh. And David said, give it to me. The Gemara goes into it, because this is osel lezor. Someone who's not a kohen is not allowed to eat this. And also it's not supposed to be taken off of the table during the week, unless it was there of Shabbos. Of Shabbos it was. So the Gemara brings that David was not hungry, he was starving. And it was a question already of sakonas nefoshes. If he did not have something to eat, he would die. So therefore it became permitted. So he gave him this lechem upon him. And then he said, after he ate and he became settled, do you have a sword or a spear? Because I had to leave with such urgency, I do not even have any weapons with me. And he said, there's the Cher of Goliath, the sword of Goliath. That was Goliath, who you, David, killed in the fight against him by the Plishtim. That is here. If you want, take that. So he took it. Vishon ish me'abde sho'ol v'yemahu ne'atzor livnei Hashem. And there was a man present who was from the servants of Sho'ol on that day. And he was there because he was studying there and he was spending time in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, by it. Ushmei Doeg Ha'adomi. And his name was Doeg. He was called Ha'adomi because he came from the land of Edom, but he was Israel. Abir Horei Mashel Shaul. Now this man was a very, very great man. And Rashi brings Avir Arohim Abbezdin. He was the Abbezdin. He was a great Talmud Chochem, a great man. And he was there and he saw what went on. Anyway, after this took place, Vayokom David, Vayivrach, Vayamahum ibn Shol, David settled himself, ate, took the sword, and he went on his way, and he went to Ochish Melagas. So that's the first chapter. A little later on, in Perichov Beis, the Nach tells us that Shaul was getting very frustrated because he wanted the death of David, because he held he was a threat and he wanted his son to become the king, but he couldn't find him. And he brought together all of his servants, his close servants, and he said, Shimuno b'ni yimini, all of you from Binyamin, listen to me. Gam lekulchem yitin ben Yishai sodes ukromim lekulchem yosim sore alofim sore meos. No information has come to me. Are you all under the influence of Ben Yishai, of this person, as he promised you that he'll give you fields and vineyards and whatnot when he becomes the king? Kikshatim kulchem alai, and you are all conspiring against me. Vengele es ozni, nobody is bringing me information where he is. Because b'ni im ben Yishai ben chel kev v'geles ozni. So and Shaul kept pressing his servants and his loyal trustees for information. Where is David? Finally, vayam do'eg ha'adomi v'hu nitzav al abdei Shaul v'yimar. So Doeg finally re'i es ben Yishai bo nove el achimelech ben achitu. And he told him the story that a while back I was in the city of Nov by Achimelech, and David came in and he wanted what to eat, and he wanted weapons, and Achimelech gave him what to eat and gave him weapons, and he went on his way. Vayishlach HaMelech Likrei Es Achimelech Ben Achitub HaKohen. And the king Shaul, he sent that Achimelech should be brought to him. Beis Kol Beis Oviv HaKohanim Asher Benov. And also that his whole family, all of the Kohanim of his family in Nov, and they all came to him. And Shaul said, listen to me. Why have you conspired together with Ben Yishai, with David? Why did you give him bread and swords in order that he'll be able to fight against me? And Achimelech said, Umi v'chol avodecha k'David nemon v'chasan amelech v'sor el mishmatecho v'nichbad b'veisecho. He says, who is more honored in the whole house, in your whole household, than David? The Chasan HaMelech, the son-in-law to the king? Who is more loyal and trustworthy than David? He says, for sure I gave him a sword, and for sure I gave him bread. But why shouldn't I have done that? I didn't know that you are looking for him. I didn't know that you want his head. I didn't have any intention to do anything which would be against you, the king. Shaul became enraged. And he says, Mostomu Sachi Melech. He says, you shall surely die, you and the whole, and your father's entire house. And the king said, L'rotzim anitzov yivolav. He said to his soldiers, go v'homisa kani Hashem. Go and kill them all. Because gam yodam im David. Because they have conspired with David to let him and allow him to escape. And they did not come with this information with me. And le'ovu abde amelach lishleach es yodam. And the soldiers refused. They refused to obey the orders of the king to kill Achimelech, Livgeya Ba'Kehani Hashem, and the Kahanim. They refused to do it. They held it was innocent blood. Vayemar Amelech Ledoeg. So the king turned to Doeg, and he said, you are the one who brought the information. So Vato Ufka Ba'Kahanim. You go and kill all of the Kahanim. Vayisov Doeg Wa'adomi Vayifkahu Ba'Kahanim. So he went, and he killed all of the Kohanim. Vayomis bayemahush meinim vechamisho ish neiseh efek bad. And that day he killed 85 Kohanim. Then, doesn't say who followed this up, if it was Dov or someone else, but then the entire city of Kohanim, the entire city of Nov, Irakanim, was destroyed. Mi ish vad isho, man and woman, el vad yenik. Even infants, and all of the animals totally were killed. One son was left to Achimelech. His name was Evyosor, and he went and he ran away and he went to David and he joined David. And he told David what happened. And David said, "Vayema David leAvyosor yodati bayomahu ki shom deig adomi ki hagid yagi l'shol." He says, "Yes, Doeg was there when this happened, and now I realize that he is the one who told Shaul." And he says, and David says, "Look what I have caused," and so forth and so on. And he told Avyosor, "You stay with me, and I will protect you," and this is the story. Now, as I mentioned, this serves as a great source for many halachas in Hilchos Rechilus. The Kesef Mishnah says that when it comes to Rechilus, even if the information you bring to the person about the other person is not divrei gnus, it's not derogatory. I come to Shimon and I tell him something there about Reuven which is going to incite him. But what I said about Reuven doesn't have to be bad. My Lashon Hara has to be bad. It's not derogatory. It's still Rechilus. And he says, well, this we see from Doeg, Vadomit, because what he said about Achimelech was not derogatory at all. The fact that he gave David lechem and chanish golios, bread and swords. To the contrary, in the eyes of Achimelech, Achimelech was doing something that was very praiseworthy, like we see from the story. And not only did he think he was doing something praiseworthy, he would have told Shaul that also, because he thought that he was doing a great favor to the king. He says, this is the king's son-in-law, and this is the most trustworthy person in the whole royal house. And here I'm helping I'm helping him, and I'm helping him on his mission. He thought he was going for the king. So what Doeg said on Achimelech was not in essence anything bad about Achimelech, and anything that Achimelech would have been ashamed of, but to the contrary, even Achimelech would have been very, very praiseworthy of. Still, since Doeg is the one who revealed this to Shaul, and he knew that this is going to create tension between Shaul and Achimelech, because he knew Shaul was looking for David, and he was after David's life, and he would become angry at anyone who helped David escape. And now he brought the information that Achimelech helped him escape, so this would create anger between Shaul and Achimelech. He was the messenger that brought this information, even though in essence Achimelech, in all good intent, did not do anything wrong. Nevertheless, Rochel Mikri, he's a Rochel. And not only that, but it was Gerem. This is what the Rambam brings. It's Gerem. It was Gerem Laharig Nefoshes Rabbis Bisrael. This Rochilus caused the death of many, many in Israel. This is what the Gesser Mishnah brings and writes, and he brings this from this source. And then we see more. A second halacha we see, that whatever Doeg said was true, not exaggerated or anything. Many times you'll see something that happens in a shul and you'll come home and talk about it. It's exaggerated. It really didn't necessarily happen, and so forth and so on. And of course, it's machlekes. Over here, what Doeg said, it was 100% spot on. He said, I was there, and David came, and he was starving, and Achimelech gave him bread, and he gave him a sword and sent him on his way. So this is exactly what happened. So it doesn't have to be any exaggeration or any lie. But if the information, the gossip you bring, is true, but nevertheless, it's a time bomb, it's inciting, then you are a rochel. A third halacha we see. What was Doeg's intention? Doeg's intention was not to, heaven forbid, to create this churban. He created a churban gadol. He created a churban, the destruction of a whole city. But this was not his intention. His intention merely was, Shaul wanted to find out where David was, so he needed information. So he gave him the information. He says, the last person that I know saw David was Achimelech, because he was there and he gave him bread and sword and sent him on his way. So his intention was, speak to Achimelech, and perhaps Achimelech will be able to tell you where he is. So what do we see? We see that even if I bring information to a person, to Reuben, when my intention is not to cause machlekes and not to cause a great korban, but nevertheless it can cause it, because it was evident that Shaul will not be very happy that Achimelech helped his enemy escape him. It's Rechilus, and he should have kept quiet. He should have kept his mouth closed. And since he didn't, he carries all responsibility. And then we see further. The reaction that Shaul had was a totally illogical and abnormal reaction. And Shaul should have gone to Ahimelech and said, "Why did you help my enemy escape?" And Ahimelech would have told him, "How was I supposed to know that David has become your enemy? He was the most loyal one in your royal household the last time I knew." So Shaul should have said, "All right, where did he go from here?" Except Shaul had an enormously abnormal reaction. He put Ahimelech to death. He put his whole family to death. He killed off the whole city. He went out of his mind. Now, was Doeg supposed to know this? Doeg never expected this. Not only that, but what Shaul did was totally shaleke din. There was no justification for this. Mitzad hadin to do this. The fact is, this is mavura because in the Nachet states, when he told the soldiers to go and execute the whole city, or Ahimelech, they refused to do so. And Rashi brings the Chazal that how could they refuse to do so? It's mitzvah HaMelech. The king has commanded. You're not allowed to refuse the command of the king. So Rashi brings from here what the Chazal say, that it states by Yeshua, Hashem said, "Rak kol ish asher yamru espicho." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yeshua king to become the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, "Rak esaish asher yamru espicho." The man that refuses to obey you shall be put to death. But he said, "Rak." Rak means only, and it's a mute. So it's darshan yochal afilu devaravera talman leim rak. But that's only if it's not against the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. The man that refuses to obey you, the king, Yeshua, if it's not a mitzvah keneged the Torah, it's not a keneged against the mitzvahs of the Torah, he should be put to death. Here the soldiers were justified in not listening to Shaul, because he was commanding them with a mitzvah HaMelech, which was against the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that it was totally unjustified. Not only that, but this was the downfall. It states this was the downfall of Shaul. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Shaul to destroy Amalek, and he came to Amalek, and there and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Destroy them completely, every man, woman, and child, and all of the animals." And he didn't. He saved some of the animals, and whatever it might be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, "Why didn't you listen to my command?" And he said, "How can you kill innocent animals?" He says, "If Amalek sinned, so what did the animals do? What did the children do?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he says, "Now we see what you are. When it came to the city of Ahimelech, who were innocent people, there you were an aksor. There you didn't have rachamim on the men, on the women, on the children, on the animals. And when it came to Amalek, there you did have rachamim." He says, "You're not fit to be the king." So this was the downfall of Shaul. Now Doeg never expected that. So therefore the information he was bringing was not with that responsibility. It was not with that intention. Yet he created a great churban, and he himself was forced to execute much of the city. And this was the downfall of Doeg. From here he lost his Elam Hazeh and Elam Abo. So we see that this was what one could call an innocent gossip, an innocent rechilus. I never knew, I never expected. Yet this is the classical case in the Shas of rechilus. And all of this, which what I'm saying, is explained in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, and he brings these sources. In the beginning of Hilchos Rechilus, in Klal Aleph, He says, a maragel bechaveire, eva b'leisase. Someone who is a ragel, maragel, transgresses a negative commandment, leiselech rochel b'amecho. It's a great aveira, causes the death of many, many multitudes in Israel. That's why it states, leisamer al dam reachot, se elomad, learn from the rechilus of Deig Adomi, how many were killed by him. And he says, "Afal pishe sedove ingnus al mishem esaper." After divrei arochel, and even though that what the one who's carrying the information, it's not derogatory what he's saying about the other person. He says, and even if you would have asked that other person, he would have gladly admitted that this is what he did. And even though it's true, and even though he's not mechaven be'elo apulis v'adiburim kavon acheres. And even though his intention is not to create such a korban, afilohochi rochel mikri, but from dog abadome we see that this is all virchilus. And so forth. He goes through all of these protim, all of these halochas which we mentioned. Then he adds another point, the Chofetz Chaim. And he brings this both by virchilus and by Loshon Hara. He says, what would happen? Let's give an example. You come home one day and you're at a party, or you're at a chasana, or you're at a bar mitzvah, you're at a shul. And you come home. Well, let's say your friends asked you, tell me, what did that person say? And you know that what that person said is going to incite this person. So you say, look, I don't want to talk about it. You're an ish tzaddik. I don't want to talk about it. So he puts a lot of pressure on you. I want you to tell me, I want you to tell me, I want you to tell me. No, he says, I'm not going to talk about it. Ask someone else. All right, very good. But what happens when you come home? Your father asks you what he said. Father says, I want to know what he said. I got a feeling he might have said something that I think I maybe know what he said, and I want to know. Your mother asks you. So the Chofetz Chaim says in a sefer, I feel oviv, or imai. It's a double poshut, even if your father and mother tells you, asks you, not allowed to tell them. He says, it's an Avera Shebetorah, one of the Avera Chamura Shebetorah. What happens if your father and mother tells you to eat Navelis and Dreyfus? Contrary to popular belief, this is worse than eating Navelis and Dreyfus. If your father and mother say, no, you must eat Navelis and Dreyfus, would you eat it? So here, your father and mother says, you must tell me what this. So they're telling you to be Aver and Vechilis or Loshon Hara. So therefore you do it. He says, even if your father or mother tells you, you're not allowed to. This is poshut, he says. This, you don't need any riots. This is what the Gemara brings in Yevamos. Kavod es avicha v'simecha. You must honor your father and mother. How do we know afilu dat ledvar avera? What happens if they tell you to do avera? Ani Hashem. You must listen to me first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I told you not to talk rechilus. So therefore, because your mother asked you, you're talking rechilus. See, it would be by eating the velus. Okay. He says, that's poshut. But what about if your Rebbe asks you? Your Rebbe says, you have to tell me what that person said. He says, you're also not allowed to. Gemara says, Beferush. He says, what happens? It says that, Ein cholkin kovet, kovet arab, imokim chil Hashem. You're mechuyev to give enormous amount of kovet to your Rebbe. But that's only where there's not a chil Hashem, not a vera. If your Rebbe tells you to do an Avera, if the Rebbe tells you to eat the Velas and Teifas, are you allowed to do it? You're not allowed to do it. If your Rebbe paskins, this is kosher. All right, he's telling you it's kosher. We're talking, let's say your Rebbe paskins, this is an Avela. But he tells you eat it. See? Not allowed to. But he says, he says better though. He says, this is Muchach from Dog Adomi. Because Kovod HaMelech is greater than Kovod Rabbi. The honor that one has to give to a king
is greater than the honor that one has to give to his Rebbe, to a king of Israel. Because the Gemara says that Rebbe Shemochal Kveda, Kveda Mochal, a Rebbe can waive his honor. Melech Shemochal Kveda, ain't Kveda Mochal. A king cannot waive his honor. Even if a king says, I waive my honor, it's not waived. You're still obligated in all of the Kovod. And Shaul, we see, commanded his trusted servants to tell him information about David. So Doeg, and this was after a long time, Doeg wouldn't do it, but after a long time, so Doeg was only conceding to the commands of the king. And still we see he lost his Elam Abba because of this. So the Chofetz Chaim says, so you see, even by a king, if he tells you, tell me what that person said, tell me, give me some information. If that information is insightful information, I'm not allowed to. So Kal Vachema, how much more so, a Rebbe or a father, a mother, a friend. Now how many times you got that somebody, you go somewhere, and then your friend, his friend or her friend, are saying, please tell me, tell me, tell me. Okay, I'll tell you. See? All right, that's in regards to that source. Now we have another source in the Gemara, and that's a Gemara in Perek Bamei Malikim Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara brings this was during the time, these were with the Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva, so it was during the time of the Roman occupation of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon was the great Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That was the great Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, the Baal HaZehar, the one who wrote the Zehar Kodesh. They were sitting talking with Yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayhu, and there was a man also who was called Yehuda ben Gerim. All right, Posach Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda said, "This is not Yehuda ben Gerim." Kama noim masen shel umazu. He says, "How beautiful are the works of this nation, of the Roman nation." Tiktu shvokim. Look at the beautiful marketplaces and shopping centers they made. Tiknuk Shorim, look at the wonderful bridges, the roads and the highways and the bridges they made. Tiknu Mechotzos, look at the wonderful swimming baths and pools, bathhouses they made. The Romans were famous for all of this. This is what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yosi Shosak. Rabbi Yosi didn't want to answer. He had something to say, but he figured he better not say it so he kept quiet. Then Rabbi Shimon Yochai, but Rabbi Shimon Yochai couldn't keep quiet. He said, "Va'omar," he says, "I disagree with you. Kol mashe tiknu le'tiknu ala tzorach atzman." He says, "Whatever they made for their own selves." Tiknu shvokim le'ishim ben zenes. He says, "They made marketplaces for the purposes of prostitution." Machatzoris la'adin bohem atzman. They made the beautiful bathhouses for their own physical indulgence. Gishorim, they made highways and bridges, little ben mechas, in order that they could charge tolls, taxes. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben, that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim, so the Yehuda ben Gerim that was there, he went with Sipet Divrehim, and he told over what his conversation. Now what's very important is, who did he tell it to? Now, Rabbi Natan brings that Yehuda ben Gerim was an Odin Godel. He was a great person. Brings from a modern made cotton. And a great Talmud Chochem. And that's what Rashi says. He didn't go tell the government. Heaven forbid. No. Rashi says he went Sipa Divrehem le Talmidov o le Obi v'imai. He went and he told over the conversation to his Talmidim. He told his Talmidim, Rabbi Shimon Yochai is Torah here. how to assess the works of the Romans. And he told it at home to his father and mother. And not to tell the Roman kingdom. But whoever he told it over to, they were not careful. And they told it to someone else. And they told it to someone else. And eventually it reached the ears of the authorities. Nishmol Malchus. When they heard it, they became very angry. They said, Yehuda is the one who praised us. She'ila Yisale. He must be promoted. So they gave him a position of royalty. Yossi Shesosak. Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, who kept silent. Yigole the Tzipori. We're going to send him into exile. So they exiled him to one of the cities in Eretz Yisrael. Shimon Shegino. But Shimon that spoke against us, and he spoke despisingly of Yehorek, he should be put to death. Then the Gemara goes on how he ran away with his son, and they hid themselves in the Beis HaMedrash, and then they went and they hid themselves in a cave, and then they stayed there in the cave. They stayed there in the cave for 12 years, and then finally they came out, and it's a whole story. And then the story ends that many, many years later, Reb Shimon ben Yochai was walking along and he saw Yehuda ben Geri. Nofek l'shuka, chazel Yehuda ben Geri, oma edayin yesh l'zeh ba'ilam, and he says, is this one still here? Nosan be'enov, he stared at him. Vosu gal she'al tzomas. And Yehuda ben Geri died on the spot. This is the story. Now, from here we see, and this is brought also in the Chofetz Chaim, even further dimensions. Yehuda ben Gerim, who was the Rochel here, he never gave this information to the one that it was going to incite. By Doeg, he gave the information directly to Shaul. And he incited Shaul, therefore he was a Rochel. Yehuda ben Gerim never gave this information to the Roman kingdom, to the one it was going to incite and make machlekes with. He told it over to his Talmidim. He told it over to his father and mother. And there was no incitement there. If this was perfectly innocent talk, still we see that since he was the one who said it, in other words, he let the cat out of the bag, and through this it went from one person to the other and eventually reached the ears of the Roman government, and machlekes and quarrel came from that, he is considered the guilty party. This is what we see from here. Further, this was totally without any intention whatsoever. At least Doeg knew that when he would tell Shaul what Achimelech did, he knew Shaul would get angry. Why are you helping David escape? And he didn't realize he's going to go out of his mind and start shooting the whole city. But he knew this would get him angry. Over here he went home and told his father and mother, and he told his Talmidim, it's not going to get anybody angry. He was totally innocent. So this was totally a groma, in other words, an indirect cause. This was totally a dovashena miskabet, where he had total inintention. It was totally without intention. Still we see he is held the guilty party, and he has to take responsibility for it. This the Kesef Mishnah brings, and this is the Rambam source, where the Rambam writes, in Halacha Hey, the Kesef Mishnah is on Halacha Dalet, but Rambam writes in the Halacha Hey, Echad amasapir b'loshen hora b'fnei chavera, eishalem b'fono. When you speak loshen hora, if it could be in the presence of the one you're speaking it against, or not in the presence, v'amasapir dvorim shegormim im nishmu ish mipi ish lahazi chavera. If you say something, which what you said does not hurt anybody directly, but you become the cause
for these words to go one to the other, where eventually it'll be mazi chaveray, eventually where it will cause harm to your chaveray, begufay or bimemeina, either physically or monetarily, vafila hatzeloi, or lafchidoi, or even some type of tzoris, there, then it's b'tal loshon hara. So the Rambam here brings a halacha that by loshon hara and mechilus, it can be a groma. A groma is where it's totally indirectly. Not like where Doeg told Shaul, and directly this created tension between Shaul and Achimelech. But over here he went and he told his family, which did nothing, except Nisgalgal Adover. It went from one to the other to the other till eventually reached the ears of the Roman government. It's a groma. Secondly, it was a totally Adovishen Mishkavan. He had no intention whatsoever. He had no idea. He didn't even have knowledge. If I tell my family, how's that going to hurt Reb Shimon Yochai? Well, he knew, Doeg knew, that if I tell Shaul, it's going to get Achimelech in trouble. He didn't know what kind of trouble, but he knew it would get him in trouble. Even if it's a Dovah Shein HaMiskaven, where he has totally no intention, he's still a Rochel, and he's Chayiv, he's still guilty. And the Kesef Mishnah brings that this is the Rambam source. The Chofetz Chaim brings this Halacha. And then he says in it, here in another place, that even though by Nezikin, the Gemara says, Gromba by Nezikin Potter, we have a klal, a general rule when it comes that if you cause damages to someone, it has to be, in order for you to be liable for payment, it has to be where you damage him directly. But if it's through a groma, if it's through an indirect act, you're not liable. But the Kofetz Chaim says, which is very correct, the Gemara says, groma menizokin is potter mitashlumin. You're not liable for the repayment of the damages, but the Gemara explicitly says, it's also minatorah. That it's forbidden to damage someone, even indirectly. And this that the Gemara says miskaven by Odom Amazik, when it comes to Odom, there is no patur, there is no exemption of Einam miskaven. Mishnah says in Baba Kama, Bein b'miskaven, Bein b'Einam miskaven. If you damage someone with intention or without intention, you carry responsibility because you should have been more careful. The only time you're free from responsibility if it's an Einis Godel, an Einis Gomel, or something totally beyond circumstances. For example, if you're holding a dish of someone and you happen to drop it, you can't say, well, look, I didn't mean it. You didn't mean it, but you still broke the dish and you should have been more careful. So he says this, and you're liable. So this is the same thing by Loshon Hara. Now this is a Teichach HaMagula. This is something that we have to absorb. This means that when I say something, even though I have no intention whatsoever of causing anyone harm with it, and even though directly it's not going to cause anybody harm, but if my words indirectly cause harm to someone, I carry the responsibility. Because before one opens his mouth, he's got to think. The Gemara says that the tongue is like a chetz, like an arrow. And the Gemara says it's more than an arrow, because an arrow has a limited contained area on what it can damage. While the tongue can damage misefer lematsefer, from one end of the world to the other, there is no limitations. So just like if you have a gun and the person said, well, I didn't mean that it should go off. Yeah, very nice, you didn't mean that it should go off. See? But you carry responsibility for it. Even more so, one carries responsibility for his tongue. And when we say carry responsibility, this means Shomayim brings the responsibility home. In the end, when Reb Shimon ben Yochai saw him, Nase Gal Shel Atzomos, he died immediately. So that's a second source that we have. Let's go into one further source. This is a Mishnah and a Gemara. In Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof Tes, and Daf Lamed Omen Aleph and Lamed Aleph Omen Aleph. The Gemara in Sanhedrin
The Mishnah in Chofteh states that if a Din Torah, there's a dispute between two people, and it comes to the Beis Din, and they hear the case, and the judges debate the case, and they cannot come to a unanimous decision. So then, the halacha is, Azlin Basaruba, you go after the Rav, you go after the majority decision. If there are three judges, and two say one way and one say another way, so you go after the opinions of the two. So the Mishnah says that after they retire to their chambers, they debate the case, and then they call in the Baledinim, they call in the litigants, and they give him the decision. How should they give him the decision? So it states, HaGodl Shebedayanim Eimer, the senior judge says, Ish Pleni Ato Zaykai, Ish Pleni Ato Chayev. He says, it's Reuben and Shimon. He says, Reuben, you are Zakai. That means the case is in your favor. And Ish Pleni and Shimon, you are Chayev. You are liable to pay. This is what they must tell him. Now, the Gemara brings Andaf Lamed Omer Aleph. Gemara says, Hechi Kasve, if they write it down, they said, they gave the decision, Reuben, you're vindicated, Shimon, you're guilty. Okay. If they write down the decision, how should they write it? So the Shloki says, you have to write it. Then this judge, whose name is so-and-so, and this judge, whose name is so-and-so, they decided in favor of Reuben. And this judge, whose name is so-and-so, he decided in favor of Shimon. This is what they must write for the record. This is what the Shloki says. Blazer says, no, you just write me Divrea Nizdaku Pleni, that from the decision of the judges we have vindicated Reuben and Shimon is liable. That's all. So the Gemara says, what is the discussion here? The discussion is as follows. Reish Lakish says you have to write which judge said the Chayiv and which judge they said the Potter, in order that it should be Midbar Shekel Tirchok. We should have the exact truth down. The others held, no, you can't, because it says Leiselech Rochel Ba'amecho. Because if you write down exactly which one held what, which one held he was guilty and which one held he was not guilty, it's Rechilus. Because then the litigants will know which one voted against me. And this can incite them. This can create hatred. So therefore the conclusion is this is what you must write. Blazer says, Hilka kasfe hochi mi divrem nizdaku ploni, that you do not write down any names of the judges, how they voted, but you simply write that from all of the conclusions of the judges, it comes out that Reuben is guilty and Shimon is not guilty. This is what the Gemara brings. Here we see, now, further,
And this is what the Meforshim bring, and the Chofetz Chaim brings this also. The Chofetz Chaim brings it. See, firstly, we see Rechilus is even through writing, not only in speaking, but in writing also. Because the question was how to write the Pesach Din, how to write the judgment. One can discuss on newspapers and magazines when it comes to Rechilus. But secondly, here again we see that when it comes to write the judgment, there was no intent whatsoever to say Genai. There was no intent whatsoever to be derogatory towards any of the litigants. And still, there's the possibility of Rechilus. All right. Now, the Gemara brings in the end, and that's actually the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Gemara brings it on Lamed Aleph on the base. No, excuse me, Lamed Aleph on Aleph. At the end of the Sugya, the Gemara says like this: Tonne Rabbonin, Minayin Lekshi Yetze. How do we know that after the whole trial is finished, a judge is not allowed to say Lo Yema Ahareini Mezake V'Chaveri Mechayovin Avol Ma Ese She'Chaveri Roba Alai? How do we know that one judge is not allowed to tell one of the litigants? He says, "Really, I held you a right, but what could I do? The majority was against me." How do we know he's not allowed to say that? Because it states Lo Yiselech Rochel Ba'Amecha Ve'Ema Heilech Rochel Megaleseid. You're not allowed to be a Rochel. And if a judge will tell one of the litigants that I really was in your favor, I voted for you, but what could I do? The majority was against me. So now he is creating tension between that litigant and the other judges. So therefore he's a Rochel. And it states also, Helech Rochel Megalasod. This is confidential information. And a Rochel is someone who reveals confidential information that should not be known to others. Then the Gemara brings Ahu Talmida the Nofek Oleo Kola, the Goli Milse Di Itmar Be Midroshe Boser Esrim Vetatin Shnin. There was a Talmud in the Beis HaMedrash that after 22 years he revealed some confidential information that was said in the Beis HaMedrash. See, the Rabbonim in the Beis HaMedrash, they had to discuss cases. And when you discuss cases, you have to go into all of the sides, and you have to go into the claims and the counterclaims. So there's a lot of Lashon Hara and Rechilus and whatnot, but this the judges must go into. So they did it privately, and they said private things. After 22 years, one Talmud went that was in the Beis HaMedrash, and he revealed some of this information to some of these people. Afkei Rabami mibei midrosho. Rabami expelled him from the Beis HaMedrash and never allowed him to come into the Beis HaMedrash again. Oma deim goli razio. He says he's a person who revealed secrets. And it states, Holech Rochel Megalesod, that someone who reveals confidential information that can cause hurt or other types of ketota, faribul, this is a rochel. The Rambam brings on this halacha also le'echon, he brings this in Perichov Bays of Sanhedrin, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Zayin, and further. Also, le'echod min adayanim, kishiyetze mebezdin lema anihu amazake omachayim vechaveirai cholkin alai. One of the dayanim is not allowed to say that I'm the one who was in your favor, but the others disagreed with me, and what could I do? They were the majority. And if he does, this is bechlal heilech rochel megalaseid. This is a rochel who reveals confidential information. Umayze betalmud echot, and there was a case with one Talmud, he revealed confidential information that was talked about in the Beis HaMedrash after 22 years. And the Beis Din drove him out of the Beis HaMedrash. They expelled him from the Beis HaMedrash. And they announced on him, The reason why he's expelled from the Beis HaMedrash is because he has revealed confidential information. Shol echod mi baledinim lichtev lepsak din. What happens if one of the litigants asks that the decision should be written down? Case vin lekach. This is how you must write the decision. Bo pleni lebezdin, shol pleni. So and so came to this particular bezdin. In pleni baldinai. Together with this other litigant by the name of so and so, and these were their tainas. Yotze zakai shaton bekach, yotze zakai ochayim, and they write, play. This one is vindicated, and this one is guilty. And they give him that writ. Ein maskirin shema mazakin vele shema machayobin. And you're not allowed to write down which were the judges that vindicated him and which were the judges that held he was guilty, except that bezdin shobleni midivreim nistaku pleni. Except that from the decision of the judges of this court, so and so is vindicated. One final din, and this is in relation to this. The Chofetz Chaim brings in at the end of Klal Ches in Hilchos Rechilus. He says, in general, about keeping secrets, he says, Chayiv odem lahastir asod, ashi yigalalei chavere derech seser. If your friend tells you something, and he tells this to you in confidence, and he says, keep it a secret, then you are obligated to keep it as a secret. Afos pi she'ein begilui haseidahu inyan rechilos, even though they might, by telling this over, the knife might not be rechilus. Ki yesh begiuli asay nezik lebalov, b'siba lo hofer makshavte. Because, I mean, if there's rechilus in it, then for sure you cannot reveal it. That's what we're speaking here, because if it's going to cause division and derision and so forth, then for sure you can't reveal it. But he says, even if there is no rechilus in it, because since your friend told you to keep it a secret, so this means that he has reasons why it shouldn't be made known. There's the possibility, if it's made known, he can suffer some damage or something from it. Or maybe he has a plan to do something, and if it's made known, so now his plans will be spoiled. So gam bezehu yetzim biderech hatznius, this is not considered snius. Umaver al dasa bal hasod, and he is breaking the confidence of his fellow man that placed him in his trust. So in addition to rechilos in general, when it comes to a divrei sod, someone should know that people who constantly reveal, that someone once said, What's the difference when you tell over something that's public or you tell over something that was told to you in confidence? Because usually you lower your voice when you tell over something that was told to you in confidence. See, that's the whole difference. If a person is like that, he should know that's not Midas Hatznius. Midas Hatznius is where you're not Megalisot. You keep it to yourself, something that was told to you in confidence. These are the halachas of some of the halachas of Rechilus, which has very, very, they have very, very wide ramifications. And the severity of the Aveiro is very, very great. On the other hand, the reward for keeping these halachas are extremely great, as we brought from the Vilna Gaon, that the person is zeicher to an or, to a light, that even the angels do not benefit to see. And like the Chofetz Chaim himself writes, that Mio Isha Chofetz Chaim, Ayv Yomim Lireish Tev, who wants life and long days of goodness, That's someone who guards his mouth carefully. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.